Hey there, hi there, ho there. It's Lounges, it's Midwest Beats here on Lakeshore Public Radio, and we have a very hoppy show for you tonight. That's right, the hoppy holidays are coming up. December 21st, they will be there. I'm talking about the Fresh Hops. And there'll be a Patrician Banquet Hall hosting a great show with Jack Whittle and others. And we're going to talk about all of that. We're going to talk about a new album that's forthcoming. We're going to talk about jam nights. We're going to find out a little bit about how the band got together, just in case you've been under a rock for the last several years and are not familiar with Fresh Hops. But all of that will come after we start the show, as we usually do, by letting the music do the talking. Tapping into their Congratulations album, This Is Anywhere. Anywhere. That's music from about 2016, Fresh Hops, my in-studio guest. Congratulations is the name of the album. And we're going to be congratulating them again soon. A new album is forthcoming. But before we get into new futuristic things, let's talk about a little bit of the past. In studio with us is Stefan, Ian, and Dave. Violin vocals, bass vocals, and drum and vocals. Dave, do you sing?
Yeah, every once in a while. Okay. Not on the album, but...
Okay. I just realized that I didn't ask you that before. I know the other guys all sing. But, Dave, you've been the newest member of the band. Let's start with you, and then we'll reflect back on how the band kind of got together. How long have you been in the group, and what drew you to the Fresh Hops?
It's been a little over 2 years now. It would be 3, I believe, come the Christmas show.
Yeah.
and just being out and about and wanting to play more kind of got me into their music. It started with the jam night at Finnegan's.
Okay.
And I would show up and play some tunes and, yeah, just kind of started from there.
Well, and David was playing in a band with the guitarist that we brought in, Martin Gomez. So we had already been talking to Martin, and he was kind of playing with us. And for the first show, we actually had Bill Romer from Freak Johnson playing drums with us.
But are they still together?
Every once in a while, they'll do something.
That's a band that them. I love it. I never see their name
amazing,
pop up.
Amazing, yeah. But but Bill told us at the time, you know, he was like, I can't do this full time, you know. Mm-hmm. We're like, I wouldn't think we'd be that lucky. So then actually me and Stefan played a show with the band that they were playing in at the time. And I was like, well, that guy can do it. And so then we kind of...
Now, Brian was already playing with you?
Well, we had played with Brian and me and Stefan and Kevin Martirosian and Scott Larson were playing in a band called Barrel Fever. And Brian was playing with us in that. So we already kind of had some chemistry with him and had been playing with him. So that just sort of fell into place a lot more. Dave sort of came out of nowhere. We were like,
yeah, totally.
So were you leaving the band at the time or did they hijack you?
It's kind of a both. Yeah. Yeah, I had a project out in Chicago that I was doing, and things were dying down a little bit out there, and was really into what they were doing. I seen a couple live performances, and yeah, just kept showing up.
Are you from the region or are you from Chicago?
Nah, the region.
Okay. How long has Fresh Hops been together, guys?
So I think we're going on about 11 years now. Coming this spring.
Oh, it's almost 2020, so I think that's 12.
Yeah, 12 years. Ian knows better than me. So yeah, going on 12 years now, you know.
Wow.
Yeah, I've been doing this for it seems longer than I should have been doing it.
One of the things I like about Fresh Hops is the fact that, Stefan, you've got violin in it. Not a lot of rock bands have violin. Of course, you got Dave Matthews and a few others that are out there. But on a local scene, to see that on stage, that's impressive.
Yeah, it's been a real true test over the years to find a way to mix it in,
mm-hmm.
you know. And I've been really blessed and lucky to have the people that have surrounded me the years that they have that have been always like very open to it. Kind of like, you know, we can work this out. We'll find a way to make it work, you know. Whether it was me bowing the instrument or plucking just like, you know,
like
little
a mandolin
notes.
Almost.
Yeah, it has found its own way to kind of fit in. And it's been a tough thing because, I mean, finding amplification, finding preamps, finding pickups that can push the instrument the way that it needs to be, that I hear it and the way that I think it should sound.
Compete with a rock band on stage.
Yeah, has been the biggest chore, that's for sure. Like, I've gone through probably, I don't know, 6 or 7 different amps, so many different preamps, all this different things, and, you know, the whole way trying to find that sound and trying to hone it in, they've always, the people that have been around have always been like, yeah, we're going to make this work. You know, mm-hmm. we'll find a way to do it. We'll quiet down, we'll play quieter, we'll do whatever it has to do so it doesn't resonate or... you know, cause any trouble on stage and all this stuff. So it's been really fun to make it work. And you know, I was raised playing it. That was the instrument that I was given. And to
at
be
what
able,
age?
I started when I was 5.
Okay.
So playing now 28 years. You know, that's been my whole life. You know, and so taking the instrument that I've done my whole life and being able to bring it into a setting where. You know, it's something I wanted to do with the music. You know, I didn't want to play classical music anymore. Mm-hmm. I didn't want to do that. And, you know, they were like, yeah, we'll do this. We'll play funk and rock and,
well, right.
you know, all
like
this
you were saying
thing.
That, like, it's kind of unexpected to see it on stage. I think that kind of really has helped with the way we are stylistically, that mm-hmm. from song to song, it's very different. So as soon as they walk in and they're like, all right, well, this is a rock band, but what is this violin doing up there?
Right.
They're already, like, sort of warmed up to the idea of, I don't know what I should expect, you know? So it's not like we're getting up there with just, you know, 3 guitars, and then mm-hmm. we're doing, like, jazz, and then funk, and then salsa, and then, you know, bluegrass or whatever, you know? it's already they have in mind, I don't know what to expect from this.
I think that's a given about Fresh Hops in general. With every show, with every album, it's a progression, it's an evolution. I don't know how to describe you. You know, people say, well, what are they? Well, they're a little bit jam, they're a little bit progressive, they're a little bit bluegrassy, Americana, they're a little bit, you know, whatever. Yeah. You're a little bit of everything.
Yeah.
And that evolution could be a double-edged sword because people don't know what to expect, so you can't get that loyal following per se that, oh, we really like this. But then you also get the loyal following that likes being like craft beer people. You always want to try the new craft beer.
Absolutely.
You guys are new every time you play.
Yeah.
Especially like this point in time and our generation a lot too, you know, like 30 years ago, if you ask someone, what kind of music do you listen to? They're like rock or country, you know, they have like one set station that they listen to. But like growing up for us with the more the internet was accessible and you could find different musics out there, like I don't know anyone who listens to one style of music anymore. You know, everybody's like, I listen to a little bit of rap and I listen to a little bit of, you know, bluegrass and I listen to some, you know, just like wild, you know, Pat Metheny or something, but then they also listen to DMX, you know, and it's like, well, okay, that's some pretty eclectic taste, you know, so we kind of hedge our bets on that of if you stick around long enough, the majority of stuff you will enjoy.
Is there one style you're leaning a little more towards now?
I think it has to be the rock style now. You know, we're kind of pushing that, you know, that, I mean, what would you say,
Ian? Well, with definitely that's just sort of my leaning as a songwriter, you know, I always wanted to have that edge, but the songs I've been writing lately, actually, we're recording an album right now, and we had our friend Anthony Fornaciari come record some organ on it, and he had said, and I hadn't even really thought of it, he's like, it kind of got like a soul vibe going on with this one. I was like, oh.
So is he playing B3?
Well, he didn't bring out the B3, but that's what he was emulating.
Okay.
We're recording at Stefan's home studio that he's been building up over the last couple of years. And so, you know, it's like upstairs and stuff. And so, like, I knew there was no way we were lugging
that
thing
organ
up
to
there.
Get an organ.
Get a service elevator built on that house.
We're looking to do it. Believe me, it's happened. It's in the works.
When I think of B3, I think a lot of the Stax sound, you know, a lot of that. And when you mention soul and R&B, and you're adding B3, I'm thinking this is a whole different direction that you're taking the music.
Right. So, I mean, as a songwriter, that's kind of something. I don't want to write a song that sounds like the last song I wrote. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm like, I've a lot of bands, they'll like find that formula of like, oh, here's a song I wrote that people like. And then every song they write after that sounds like that or something. And I try to purposely not let myself do that. But
it was kind of like James Brown. You know, James Brown kept like, writing the same song and just putting a few more grunts here and there, and some lyric changes.
Yeah, no,
I take it to E.
I don't have, believe it or not, I do not have the confidence of James Brown. So I can't let myself do that. I'm like, people are gonna they're gonna find out that you don't have any fresh ideas. So I force myself to really go outside the box every time.
Now, when you're talking about the songwriting, Ian, are you the primary songwriter?
Yeah. So
okay. Has that been the case since the beginning?
Well, originally, our old guitar player, Joe Marcinek, did a lot of the writing, or, you know, the Van Blyman brothers, you know, a couple other people in the band would write songs here and there. But then by the time that I joined, it was pretty much just Joe doing the writing. And then I came in and started writing, and he was like, oh, well, whew, that's a load off. You know, as a songwriter, I can see it too. Like, if someone was all of a sudden like, hey, here's a bunch of songs I wrote, I'd be like, well, that's a lot of pressure off. But so now I do a lot of it. I'll you know, Stefan and our guitar player Martin are usually the two guys that I like run them past first, because Stefan's sort of, he's my quality control.
Okay.
You know, so I'll run it past him, and then Martin, he's just very interested in the process of songwriting, and he's like, I want to be more involved in it. So I kind of bring him in, and he has a lot of musical ideas, but lyrically,
Okay.
You know, he's like, I don't want to get my fingerprints on that, you know, so that usually falls into...
You have two guitar players, Brian and Martin.
Yeah.
For a long time, you had just the one guitar.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
How has it changed the dynamic of the band to have two guitarists?
Well, originally there were two guitar players.
Okay.
We always wanted to have, with the violin and with the guitar and with Ian, the way that he plays bass, and the lineup that we had before we have what we have now, we always had said we always wanted something else. We wanted a keyboard, we wanted a guitar player, we wanted something else to kind of help fill that sound. As a violinist, I can't normally fill chords the way that a guitar player or a keyboard can play.
Mm-hmm.
So if Martin was taking a solo and he was the only guitar player, he wouldn't, you know, it wouldn't be as full without that. So with this other guitar player now, not that either one of them is a rhythm or a lead guitar player, but they both feed off of each other and they're able to kind of fill in that sound for us the way that we need. Mm-hmm. That kind of goes hand in hand with that jam band or that jam scene, you know, because that's the thing that we, you know, if people want to put it out there, and it's like filling in those jams with just a guy doing the chords, a guy kind of fiddling over the top of it, me fiddling over the top of it with a violin, you know, Ian doing his thing, Dave doing his thing on drums. It's like it makes it a complete set, you know. So that was kind of the nice thing about bringing in another guitar player. Plus, I mean, more ideas, you know. Yeah.
When we had just the one guitar player, you know, the drums, the bass, and the guitar would be playing, and the violin takes a solo, and it's very perfectly accompanied, and it sounds very full.
Mm-hmm.
And then the guitar takes a solo, and all of a sudden there would just be this, like, dropout of all of a sudden it's just drums and bass underneath him with, like, a couple violin
like
parts
notes.
Here and there.
Yeah,
you
so
know?
It just
and
didn't. Like,
so to have that, no matter what, your bases are covered, you know.
Jam bands in general improvise a lot. They borrow that from the school of jazz.
Yeah.
So you record these songs, and then you take them to the stage. Are they living elements of who you are? I mean, are they always evolving? Do you play things differently, like Zappa did, or like Bob Dylan even does, where every night you're on stage, you never quite play it the same?
We do that a lot, but also we spend a lot of time playing the songs live before we record them.
Okay.
You know, so even the last album was 2016, you know, and a lot of the songs that are coming on this album are relatively new, but a couple of them we've been playing for that whole time, you know, like Epiphany was one of the last songs that... like I just brought that song right before Joe and Kevin had left the group. And, you know, so that if I write a song too soon and we record it too soon, in the nature of our live improvisation, there will come a point where someone plays something that I'm like, oh, that's part of the song now. So if I just write it and we record it right then, I know that in like 2 years, there's going to be something that every time I listen to that recording, I'm like, oh, we didn't come up with that awesome part before we recorded it, you know, so we kind of road test them for a long time. Okay. And is this ending working, or it needs a melody part here or whatever, you know, eventually that stuff just sort of organically happens.
Are you doing that for the songs on the next album though already?
Yeah. So that's what I'm saying. Like quite a few of these songs that are going on the album we're recording right now have been played live for years, you know, and
people have asked us to put them on a record
for
years.
Right, they're like, is that on? Right.
They're like, is that one on this one right here or this one right here? And we're like, it's on neither of them.
But
and they're like, well, where,
the
is
song,
it? Where is it?
What the song was the first time somebody asked me that versus what it is now.
Right.
You're going to be so much more happy when it does make it onto an album because it is more of a polished product.
Yeah, we'll feel better about it.
Right.
You're listening to Midwest Beat here on Lakeshore Public Radio, 89.1 FM, streaming worldwide at lakeshorepublicradio.org. My in-studio guests, Fresh Hops, we've got Stefan, Ian, and Dave. Missing in action, Martin and Brian, but they're here in spirit and musically. Let's play something else off the last album from 2016. The album's called Congratulations, and this is The Phone Call.
Yourself for breaking. had a phone call. It was my grandma on the other line. She said, "Now, boy, you better write yourself a reggae song." I got a phone call. It was my grandma on the other line. She said, "Now, boy, you better write yourself a reggae song."
Now, that is a quirky song if I ever heard one. First time I'm hearing that one, folks. It's off. Congratulations. You said that was your grandma, Ian?
Yes. That was a song that Stefan and I came up with in Omaha, Nebraska, while bored out of our minds watching a band play a set of reggae that was virtually that song, every song. You know, like reggae, it's like blues or bluegrass where there's sort of a formula to it, but there's like four or five different reggae songs you could write, but every single one of them was that, you know, just different keys. So we were like singing that in each other's ears and laughing about it. So then when we went to record it in the studio, I asked my grandma, I was like, call my phone and say that line so I can use it in the song. And she called and she blew it. It was like so bad. She's like, what is it? She's like, boy, you better write yourself a reggae song. Like, it was like all of a sudden she had never spoken English before or something. Like, her syntax was off. It was just very uncomfortable in her mouth. So I was like, thanks, Grandma. And I was like, I don't know, guys. It's not going to work. So then I called my mom.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I've got a 9-year-old and a 4-year-old. So I was like, she's a grandma. And I had my mom do it. And I always had, like, the young mom. So she called, and it just sounded
Didn't sound right.
Girl our age. She's like, boy, you better write yourself a reggae song. I'm like, man, this isn't going to work. Well, then all of a sudden my grandma calls back. And she's like, I want another chance. Yeah,
okay.
Yeah, totally. She's like, I need another chance. And I was like, all right. And then she nailed it that time.
Wow.
And the ending, the love you, bye-bye, that was just how my grandma was ending the actual voicemail. That wasn't part of the script at all.
Okay.
We were like, that's going into.
What did she think when she heard the final mix and the final song?
It was like the coolest thing that ever happened to her. The holiday show that we did right after that album came out, she was like walking around with a Fresh Hops t-shirt on. She's like, that's me on the song. Everybody was like,
do you
like,
sample it then during the song?
No. I've thought about it though. You know, if we just had a little trigger pad,
yeah,
that we could just play that.
That'd
part.
Be perfect. You gotta put her in the show.
Yeah.
That's too cool. That song is, again, all of your stuff shifts dynamics and tempos and time signatures, and it's hard to describe. It's hard to describe that song alone. It is obviously a reggae song, but then
that one,
the violin parts, and then there's other parts that are non-reggae, and you kind of mash them, and then you come full circle and weave it back in.
Yeah. Well, like I said, we had come up with that as sort of a goof tune just mm-hmm. on the road, you know, and we're delirious and whatever, you know, but... So then as a songwriter, I was like, that can't be it. Like, we actually played that song live a couple times where it was just that, you know, mm-hmm. with solos thrown in and stuff. So then I wrote the instrumental part in the center because I was like, I'm embarrassed. Like, it can't just be
yeah,
that.
We didn't even realize. And it's that song in general is probably the song that a lot of people get us. They attract
to. That's the connection.
That's the connection. Like, oh, they've got this song where it's about reggae and it's all this. And when we first wrote it, it was, like Ian said, it was a goof. It was something where once we had even the lyrics to it, we sat there and racked our brains about how to make it, like, add more lyrics to it. And we finally came to it. We're like, just forget it. We're going to do it this way, and this is the way it's going to be. And you know, everybody, any show that we play, people are like, are you doing, is reggae song, is Phone Call on that, is, you know,
mm-hmm.
and so we, you know, have been, it's been right. the song that's brought us
that's
more people,
kind
I guess.
Kind of our bit of, like, doing something very stupid, but taking it very seriously.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You mm-hmm. know, so it's like this dumb song, but then there's this instrumental passage and,
yeah.
you know, counterpoint and harmony and, like, all this, like,
and again, intelligent... That brings me back to comparing you in some ways artistically to Frank Zappa.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Zappa would do that. You call any vegetable. And I mean, some of the things he mm-hmm. wrote, you listen to it and you think, what the hell?
Yeah.
And then you listen to the music and it's like, oh, it makes sense. The words are kind of a distraction to kind of ride over it.
Yeah. Yeah.
But Zappa was one of my favorites. Going back to the old Night Rock days,
him.
We did our Zappa track of the day. And I never got tired. You could mine him forever and always hear something
right.
fresh.
He's got like 60 albums, too.
Yeah.
yeah.
And I kind of get that with you guys. I mean, going back to 2014, the album that came out prior, the Everyone Act Normal, that made my top 10 list at number one because I could listen to that CD repeatedly. And I do with all the albums I get. Mm-hmm. I'll put them in the car. I'll be driving. I'll listen to them. And I almost said flip them over and do it again, but you don't have to flip them over. I'm getting into vinyl mode there. But
it's coming back.
Every time you hear a Fresh Hops song, you hear something different. And to me, that really speaks volumes of the artistic aspect of you guys. I'm thinking you all sight read or
pretty much.
Honestly, I can, but it, like, takes... time. Like, I have to sit there and, like, really count out the rhythms.
Because it seems more formally trained.
I was trained that way. That's the only way that I, and I still teach it. That's the way that I teach to this day. I teach, you know, and that's I give them the music. I'm like, look, this is something that you're going to need as a foundation. Mm-hmm. It's not something that you should complete. Like, I also teach ear listening, which is, you know, they kind of don't really mix together very well because, you know, but to have one and not the other or vice versa when it comes to playing the violin, that was, you know, I had them both, you know, growing up. That's what the teachers pushed on me was learn how to play this music, learn how to read it, learn how to play it after you've heard it, you know, things like that.
See, I'm more like my idiot savant trait is playing by ear. Like I'll hear a song on the radio in the car with no instrument and I'm like mapping out how to play it in my mind. That's originally how I got into hops. Like when they were looking for a bass player at the time, all these other guys were like trying to learn these orchestrated songs that they had, and I knew it, and they were almost like, why do you know that? I'm like, I don't know, I just do, you know. Like
heard it once, I know it.
Right, exactly.
You know, a lot of people think of jam bands as free form and unstructured, but it's actually probably one of the most structured when it comes to writing and performing it.
Or just actually being able to make it sound structured. Okay. There's a difference between like, hey man, we're jamming, and everyone's just blah, 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 playing whatever. You know, the idea, ideally a jam, it should be improvisation, but it should sound like the listener should be able to be like, wait, did they write that part out? Or, you know, like that you all are working together well enough towards the same goal that it sounds structured.
Speaking of jams, let's talk about your jams. There's the Fresh Hops jam, and then there's your jam, Ian, that you're doing.
Yeah.
So where do you want to start?
So every Wednesday, we've been doing open jam, which is where we, you know, all musicians, no matter what the genre, no matter what you play, no matter if you sing or whatever you do, we've been doing that at Beer Geeks, and
that's in Highland.
That's in Highland over there, and it's a beautiful community of people that we've been able to bring together. The people that come and listen to us, the musicians themselves that come out and perform, they all go hand in hand, and really, it's been something that we've been truly, you know, blessed to have it and being able to do it as long as now we've been doing it. You know, we've been doing it going on 2 years or a little bit more than that now, right?
Yeah.
And it's so, every Wednesday.
It's every Wednesday, 8 to 12. They close at 1, so we kind of push that little bit past then.
Okay.
You know, they've got a fantastic food fair there. They do ramen on Wednesdays. So they have Wu-Tang Clan ramen, which is like that's what starts the night out. And the ramen is fantastic. I had some, my girlfriend Kaylee got some the other day and brought home because it was too much.
Mm-hmm.
And so yesterday I saw it in the fridge and I was like, oh, leftovers. Threw it in there and tasted it. And a day later, it was still really, really good.
Yeah.
So, you know, they do that really well. They're very, very, it's a great artsy vibe there. Jason and that whole crew, like, has done a great job of making that place really, really cool place to hang out. And, you know, so we've been really lucky that that works out.
On average, how many jammers do you get? I mean, do you play a lot as Fresh Hops and then call people up?
Yeah. Yeah, we do that.
We'll start off the night, you know, we'll do like 30, 40 minutes or so. And then depending on who comes in there, because kind of the idea is, like an open mic night, that's really only gonna, that's if you play acoustic guitar and you sing, that works for you, you know. But some people will come out and they're like, I'm a drummer, but I don't have any bands to play with or bass players, whatever. Yeah. So the open jam night is anybody, you know. So it could be, it could just be a bass player that's like, I want to play with a band. And so Josh Hanchar, who plays bass for our jam night, he'll sit down and this bass player comes up and plays with us. Or if there's, you know, a lot of players out that night, we'll just put together a whole new lineup of, like, four guys that have never met before. It's like, well, you're on guitar, you're
on
bass,
you're on
drums.
How often is that a train wreck?
You know?
Never.
You know,
that's the one thing that we try to push is that, you know, first off, that if it's going to be a train wreck, it's going to be us that is going to make that train wreck.
Okay.
You know, like, that's for sure. Like, we'll try things that we've never tried before and train wreck in front of all of our friends and not give a, you know, a hoot about it. But when it comes to people that we're bringing up and playing with, they're already nervous enough going, I got to play with these guys or whatever.
Right.
We push so hard on them, like, look it, we're working with you, and that's like been the thing that we try to do the best that we can is to make them not only themselves feel that way, but the people that are watching go, have they done this before? Like, mm-hmm. this is something that they do, you know?
Well, but, and our crowd and our community is very open-minded and accepting and welcoming, you know? Yeah. So they'll get up there. They might be nervous before they go up, and then they see it's a crowd full of people that mm-hmm. are supporting them, and that kind of that helps alleviate that, yeah. you know? People will lose the nerves, and it'll...
So we do that on Wednesday, and then Ian does one on Sundays.
Okay. Yeah.
Every Sunday at Finnegan's in Dyer, I host an acoustic open mic, which is more
that
of like
is a room that is very pro music, very yes. pro local yeah. music.
Absolutely,
mm-hmm. I gotta salute Patty, Joe, and Roger over there for yeah. doing Amen. The job they do.
Amen. Been good to us for so many years.
Almost single-handedly, they kind of opened the door for original music in the region.
Yeah.
Because all the other clubs are so tunnel visioned on playing Brown Eyed Girl ad nauseum.
Oh, yeah.
That, or Sweet Caroline. That's songs that I.
Wagon Wheel.
Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. So they've given a platform to yes. original bands yes. with yep. Greg Ashby and you guys yep. and all these yeah. great players of the region that has become contagious. We're seeing more venues doing yeah. it, more microbrews doing it. So I think it kind of started there. And it doesn't surprise me that your events there go over so well.
Well, it's funny that. You said Brown Eyed Girl and stuff, because that's exactly when...
Tell me you don't play that song.
No, okay. No, exactly.
I would lose all respect.
When Scott Larson, you know, right, our great. Good friend who passed away this summer, when he passed, and it was kind of up in the air of what was going to happen for his Sunday open mics, I mean, he'd been hosting it for like what, like six?
Something.
Like long, forever, long time. Forever. I was like, I want to do it. Mainly because Scott sort of really set that precedent, mm-hmm. you know, that like he's like this big hippie guy and like he plays a Grateful Dead song, but then he'll play like a Merle Haggard tune and then he'll play like the Misfits
mm-hmm.
acoustic, solo acoustic on a guitar, like things you would never expect someone to play just by themselves on an acoustic guitar, you know, he would do that. And That's what I always loved about it, and that's sort of what our community was built around. You know, it'd be like a table of hippies, a table of punks, a table of rockers, a table of, you know, hip-hop fans or something, and all of them are totally getting along because that's the precedent set in the room, is that we're all – it's the island of misfit toys mm-hmm. is basically the way I look yeah. at it, you know. We're all different, and that's why we're all cool. But so he sort of instilled that. And I was like, man, if somebody takes over this open mic and just starts playing Brown Eyed Girl every damn Sunday, you know, like, this is going to be very upsetting yeah. to me, you know. So I try to keep that spirit alive on Sundays. And
now, who all plays with you on that? Is that the band? Dave,
no,
do you
so the,
play on either
the
of these?
The Sunday acoustic open mic is, it's just me. I'll start the night out, and it's more of like a singer-songwriter
okay.
sort of show.
Kind of like what we do at the Record Bin. Yeah. It's basically, yeah. you come out, you bring your acoustics. We may add something electric, but mostly acoustic. Dave, do you sit in on either of these jams?
I haven't made it to the Sunday jam yet, but every Wednesday I'm there. Okay. Set up the drums and do my thing with the guys for the first hour or so. And
yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, and the three of us also play in an acoustic trio called Catman Dog, and Dave.
That's right.
Yeah, Dave so plays
I'm on percussion
in that, yeah.
on that okay. in that group as yeah. well. So yes, I stay very busy with these gentlemen.
We kidnapped him for sure yes. for that gig.
Actually, Catman Dog is playing at a Region Ale tonight in Sherrill.
Right. Yeah, I think that's in my column this week.
Hey, all right, we made it, boys.
Every once in a while, I get a Catman Dog item in there. Yeah. But how is that going, and how often do you play out as that? And how, does it conflict
so
with
that,
the Fresh Hops?
That really, no. So what that does is that, like, we've found over the years that there are so many clubs out there, and there are so many ones that we can play at, and kind of if we did Fresh Hops every weekend in the area, it would fizzle out.
Mm-hmm.
And so we really don't play the region too much anymore unless we're throwing our own thing or we're doing a show at a brewery or something like that that's kind of a bigger event. So what we found with this group is we could still hone in, write songs as a group, you know, find that groove and really work together. And then we can go and do some of the dinner music, some of the more smaller venues mm-hmm. that
they'll reach out to Hops and they'll be like, "Can we get you guys?" And it's like, "Trust me, you don't want you this don't want loud this. Rock band right. in your you know, like, little glass room or something.
Let us give you this other option." Mm-hmm. And so, you know, the thing that we really work off of really well, me and Ian, since we have started that the Catman Dog thing, is we have worked on our vocals. And mm-hmm. so, like, a lot of people will tell us when we're finished, they're like, "You know, you guys really got really good song selection. You got," they're like, "Those harmonies though are so nice." And we've been so lucky that that's been the thing. Yeah. So that has helped us transfer that over into Fresh Hops and bring that into, like, with the new album, what we're doing. It's, there's more harmonies. There's way more things that we've been doing with that. With it, but it also just keeps us three tight. Ian plays bass in Fresh Hops, Dave plays drums, Ian plays acoustic guitar in Catman Dog, and so to keep that rhythm section still together, mm-hmm. you know that is like paid practice for us.
And you're still playing violin?
Yes, and I still play violin in that.
Well, like he was saying about the vocals, in Fresh Hops for so many years, we both sang, and we sang together, and we sang harmonies, but when you're, like he was saying about the violin earlier, when you have this loud rock band behind you, it's easy to, like, get away with the vocals not being right there, you know? But with Catman Dog, when it's just an acoustic guitar and a cajon and a violin, those vocals, like, every little mistake is going to be heard. Yeah. You know, all of a sudden you're under the microscope. So it's really forced us to lock in together better on our harmonies and on our vocals. And so in transferring that back to the loud rock band, it's just taking it up that extra level.
Are all the dates for all the different incarnations, the jams, the Catman Dog, the Fresh Hops, is that on the Fresh Hops site?
The Catman Dog stuff is not. That can be found on Facebook, as far as we need to get a website for that going. But, yeah, so a lot of the events that we do with Catman Dog are up on Facebook. All the stuff, I'm trying to still make sure that I get the website always with Fresh Hops updated. So that's being updated weekly as best I can. And more updated things would be Fresh, the Facebook and like the Instagram and things for Fresh Hops. That stuff is always being updated and shows are always being posted on that.
All right. So, we are down to about 10 minutes. And one of the things we definitely want to touch on is the Hoppy Holidays.
Absolutely.
So let's talk about that for a while. Saturday, December 21st. And again, this is at Patrician Banquet Hall on US 30 in Schererville. And again, this is tied to Finnegan's because it's Patty Joe and her family that have it. Again, even for a banquet hall, they open the doors to a lot of cool music events. Yeah. This is not your first time there.
No, this is going to be our sixth year doing this. This is our sixth annual, and we've been so lucky over the years to be able to do it there. They've opened the doors. They've allowed for us for the all ages aspect of it, which has been huge. You know, a lot of our fan base and friends and family members all have children and have kids, and that's kind of one of the main things we do the holiday show for, is to make sure that, you know, you don't have to be 21. You don't have to be, you know, of a legal drinking age to see live music in the area. And I feel like that's something that isn't very, you know, it's hard to find. It's hard to find. And so they've been lucky. We've been lucky. They've let us, you know, do all ages events there. And we've been super successful over the last years. We work with a lot of different local artists and a lot of different of our friends that do craft work and things like that. So it's not only just our show. It's like the friends of ours that make T-shirts, tie-dye shirts, friends of ours that do apothecary things, that do massage things, that just paint on their own, friends that make jewelry, friends that make hair pieces, friends that we've had just so many things over the years. It's about
showing booths?
Yeah, they have booths, and their booths, you know, we're up there playing and doing our thing, but it also shows that, look at, they're doing their music thing, and they're doing that up there, and we see that when we see that. We didn't know that these other people were doing all this other cool stuff, and that's kind of the thing that, like, you know, the bringing in the kids and allowing them to see live music, and then
it's like a summer festival inside in the winter.
Absolutely, absolutely, and it's right
it's
before
a late night winter farmers market.
It's right before the holidays. We try to do them right before the holidays so people can do their last minute shopping, find something for their parents that you're not going to find at a Walmart or a place, you know, something like that, and you can buy from a friend and support their endeavors and support our endeavors, and, you know, it works out hand in hand.
And on the Facebook, it mentions it's also a food drive, too.
Yes,
so you're
absolutely
asking for canned goods?
We've done that the last years. We've raised so much food. It's been that's been a huge thing and a huge success, and the Food Bank of Northwest Indiana treats us very well, gives us the boxes, lets us fill those up, lets us bring in the food, and makes it super easy for me every year, like the few days after when I'm trying to wind down from putting this thing together. Mm-hmm. They're just like, show up anytime, bring us the food, you know. And I'll show up there. Their crew comes, takes it out of the van for me, gets it off of there, and they're great people. So,
and this is an all-ages show, but there is alcohol served for 21 and over.
Absolutely.
Is it a standard bar? Is it the craft brew stuff?
So we usually try to do that, too. We try to bring in, like, a craft brew. I think we've done Burnham Brewing out there in Michigan City. We've done New Oberfalls in Griffith.
Devil's Trumpet.
We've done Devil's Trumpet, I believe, one time. So we try to, like, actually reach out to a brewery and say, look, if there's something special you have, you know, get a hold of us, and let's see if we can push it that day. Because, you know, it's about the artisanal things there, too. Mm-hmm. You know, we were really lucky to have the amount of fantastic drink in the area that we do.
Right,
you know?
Right. They're growing every day.
They're growing every day.
Doors are at 7. Music starts at 8. Goes till a little after midnight. Now, are you guys the only band on the bill? I saw Jack Whittle somewhere in there.
So I think he's just maybe saying he was going. He's been a part of it with us,
though.
We love Jack. Yeah. And he was there last year. As far as we're looking for an opener right now, I've been kind of talking with a few different bands that we think could work out, and
we try to get an opening act, and then like an in between, like between our sets, like an acoustic, solo acoustic
and
sort
I
of
think,
thing. You know, so it's like music going nonstop, and
I think this year what we're gonna do between the sets is we're gonna do a tribute to our good friend Scott Larson. We've had a friend do a like a video. They made this, it's almost like the holographic thing that they were doing with like Tupac and stuff.
Okay.
But he's not going to be a holographic. It's just like, it's a projector screen, and it's a projector, and then it goes hand in hand with his song. Like, he's basically playing for us.
So it's videos of him playing?
It's a video that, it's like a selection of videos of him playing, and then the music goes with it, yeah. So
okay.
It's like, it would be a show. Scott is going to do a show for us on that day, I think, is what we're going to try
to
do.
Very nice touch.
Yeah. I think it's necessary, you know. Yeah. So there might not be a dry eye in the house, but, you know.
Everybody's going to cry for Christmas.
Yeah.
Kids 12 and under are free, so it is very family friendly for those that
Absolutely.
Have a lot of kids. It's not going to break your wallet before Christmas. And again, lots of booths so you can pick up some custom stuff and support art in the region. And how do they get tickets?
So it usually, I think we're just going to do it the same way we've done it. It's just going to be a ticket at the door type of a thing.
Okay, so no pre-sale,
nothing like that. We haven't done that in the years prior. We've always been successful doing it this way, and you know, kind of give people that ability to choose what they want to do. If you want to come, you want to come. If you don't worry, we're still going to do it. You know.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Okay. So anything else coming up besides the Hoppy Holidays, which, of course, is the big push here, but you've got several weeks between now and then.
Yeah. So we're just really working on the album right now, trying to make sure that gets the new stuff. We've got a few little odds and ends, and then we need to figure out who's going to mix and master that. That's kind of the next thing. And I know Ian has some ideas. We've been thinking about the gentleman, the saxophone player from Los Lobos.
Oh.
Who does a lot of, he mixed and mastered and helped produce an album by a band by the name of Green Sky Bluegrass. And Green Sky Bluegrass is more bluegrass oriented, but what he added to it was kind of that Los Lobos rock and roll kind of a feel.
You guys just opened for them, right? This past summer?
No, we haven't.
No?
We would love to. If they ever want us, we would do it.
I thought you were at the Red Barn show.
We threw a festival there a few years back.
We were out of town the weekend of that show,
yeah.
And it broke my heart. Los Lobos is one of my favorite bands.
That would have been
time.
A good pairing.
Yeah. David Hidalgo, his voice is like...
Ian's a huge Los Lobos guy.
Yeah, that is my...
So if we can have anybody to do it, I forget the gentleman's name, and I don't think I'm too quick to pull it up, but it's the saxophone player, and he just... it's his work is good. He does great work, and that's kind of who we've been thinking about.
Well, you mentioned the songs. You've been working them on stage for a while now. Are the songs chosen? Do you know what you're putting on the album?
Yeah.
Yeah. So this album, the other two albums that we put out are very fresh hops in that it goes from this to this to this. You know, it's just all over the map. Mm-hmm. This album, growing up and just musically, I'm a big fan of like Pink Floyd and bands like that. I love concept albums, mm-hmm. and I've always kind of wanted to do that. And that was like almost the antithesis of
what you
do Fresh
now.
Hops
yeah.
albums, you know. So this album, like I said, we were recording ourselves, and that just gives us the time and the opportunity to.
So there's no rush. You're not watching
around.
The clock.
Exactly. So this okay. this album is a concept album, kind of.
What's the concept, loosely?
Kind of like the cycle of relationships, you know, okay. like the.
Like human relationships or female male relationships?
A little of both, okay. you know, but, you know, the. Being content with yourself at the beginning, you know, like everything's all right. And then you meet someone and you're like, oh, and then. It starts ramping up, and you're like, this is going to be great. And then some
and then it all
troubles
falls apart.
Start showing. Well, the troubles start showing, and you're like, well, maybe. And then it starts falling apart, and then it falls apart. And then you're in that pit of despair of like, what do I do now? You know, that's it. Mm-hmm. And then sort of the end of the album is like, oh, wait, I'm going to be all right. You yeah. know, and then it actually
starts
cycles
again.
Back into
right.
itself. If you yeah. listen to it on repeat, the end song and the beginning song. Perfectly go into each other.
Yeah.
What's the title? You have a working title yet?
Ian? No, I don't know. Still working on that.
Okay.
Yeah. So and we got a lot to figure out still.
Target date? What are you shooting for?
It's hard to give a date on that because really it's
2020 for sure though.
Yeah.
2020 for sure.
But you know, when you find the people to mix and master, that's one mm-hmm. thing. And then when they have the time to get that done, you know, like we're basically done tracking at this point. Me and Stefan went through the other night and, there was like a couple things we wanted to re-record. But besides that, like we're pretty much done with our tracking of it. So it's,
yeah.
it's really just finding the mixing and mastering and, when their schedule allows for that to be completed.
Given the fact that you're such a strong live band, do you record predominantly live, or are you all isolated?
So this one was isolated, more isolated yeah. than these two albums that you have in front of you, the first two that we did those live, and we added little things to them. We went back through them kind of and touched things up in some certain areas. But this one we've really done drums, we yeah. did bass, we did guitar all by themselves. And then we've just added, you know, the other pieces in as it's gone, you know, by themselves. And mm-hmm. That's kind of been the process.
And when, you know, those albums were recorded in a studio in Chicago, and when somebody else is taking care of it, it's a lot easier to do the live tracking and stuff. But this was our first album we're recording ourselves. I really wanted to, like, focus on each individual thing. So. Yeah. We would start
Are
with the drums.
Are you acting as primary producer then?
Yeah.
Absolutely.
So we would start with the drums, and I would play along with him either on bass or guitar and sing, but those are just like scratch tracks. It was really just so he had the form of the song and where he was in the song, you know.
Okay.
So, this one's a lot more produced and layered. Yeah.
Dave, this is your first recording with Fresh Hops. Have you done a lot of recording in the past?
I have. Other groups that I played in, even from a decades back, were always big on having an EP at the show. So I was always under the gun to perform drum parts, whether it be in the studio or live performances. And it's no different here.
Okay. So was it pretty easy working with these guys?
Oh, yeah. I love working with them.
Don't lie.
Ooh, the looks.
Yeah. Both of them.
No, Dave's he's painfully kind, and that's why we like to give him a hard time.
He's got a Beatles haircut right now, and I'm pretty sure he's the one farting in the room.
Yeah, David.
I'm pretty sure it was him.
Might have been me.
Because you guys are well-known as a live group, and always have been, and everything is spontaneity when it comes to Fresh Hops, when might we see a live album/DVD?
That's something that I think, you know, if there is potential to do that, even for the holiday show, that would be something cool we could do then.
Yeah.
You know, like we're always working. We work with the local 209 crew.
Is that
over there.
Nick?
Alan.
Oh, Alan.
Alan.
Okay.
We just did a holiday show or a Halloween show with them at the courthouse in downtown Crown Point, which was really fun. We played in the same building. I'm not sure if it was the exact same room, but the same building that Muhammad Ali was married in. And I was just like, someone told me that. I was like, this is so cool. But it's also, it feels very haunted there. So it was nice to have that.
Definitely is.
That good haunted, for a Halloween show.
That Halloween show at a haunted spot. But they do that kind of stuff. And we would really, you know, it's something that we've thought about for years now. It's just we've always had, you know, we've been working on an album. We haven't really, we haven't put the pieces together.
Right. It's like we need someone else to come and say, hey, I'd like to do that for you.
Yeah. See, that's the biggest issue.
We're carrying enough gear of our own.
That's the biggest issue with this band is we love to write music. We love to perform. We love to do all that. The business side of it. We are the worst. We are just like if someone could come along.
If it happens,
and just,
it'll happen.
Someone could come along and carry that weight for us. We're taking applications for sure.
We're going to play another song, and we'll be back a final time with the guys right after this. This is Late Last Night off Congratulations.
Thank you.
That happened late last night. That's off the latest album from 2016. Congratulations from my in-studio guest, Fresh Hops. And a new album coming out in 2020, The Big Hoppy Holidays on December 21st, we've been talking about. And again, that is at Patrician Banquet Hall, 410 East U.S. Highway 30. And it's family-friendly, craft beers, full bar, craft vendors, artists, all kinds of fun stuff. Sounds like a festival in time for winter. And jam nights, you guys, tell us about the jam nights again.
Yep, Sunday acoustic open mic every Sunday at Finnegan's Pub in Dyer.
And then every Wednesday at Beer Geeks in Highland from 8 to 12, it's an open jam night.
Very cool. The Sunday at Finnegan's, what time does that start?
That starts at 9.
Oh, man, that's perfect. You see, you can come under the record bin, and you can do the open mic there, get all warmed up, and then go hit the time with the pros over there at Finnegan's. We'll give you all the coffee you need, free coffee and cookies, and you go over there and you get the real libations.
Right, and then you get the coffee with a little bit of whiskey in it.
You guys have been going a long time. Is there anything, any shout-outs, any thanks to people you want to acknowledge? Of course, Martin and Brian, your guitar players, who are not here today. Playing hooky as you're doing all the work, all the heavy lifting for the band.
We'd like to give a shout out to Michael Valley, Scott Larson. We love you, Scotty. Andrea, Brandon. He works our merch and travels with us. We love you so much, Brandon. My fiance Kaylee, and all of her work partners. Our friend Jeffrey Lee, I got you, buddy. And our friend Bridget, and you know, all of our parents and support systems and families and everybody that comes and sees us. We couldn't do it without them.
With our riffraff.
Yeah. What's up with our riffraff for sure.
Any additions there from Dave or Ian?
I'd like to give a shout out to Dave on the drums.
Yeah, shout out to Ian as well. And my girlfriend Liv back home.
Wow. Gotta love the love in the rhythm section here.
Yeah, you guys can get a room. It's very important.
New album coming out 2020. Watch for it. Keep up with them at freshhops.com, right?
Freshhopsband.com.
Band.com.
Yes.
And then on Facebook. And don't forget Catman Dog. And you got a show tonight.
Yes. Yep. Region Ale, 8:30 to 11:30, all ages. Great food, great beer.
I've heard they got great food there.
Fantastic. Yeah, they take care of us. John and Steve and all that whole crew takes care of us over there, and we love them. And, they do a great job for music there, too. They do, really do. They bring in a lot of stuff. Jazz showcase there, like a Sunday brunch.
Yeah, the brunch with Andy Sutton.
So cool. So cool. They get
all
some
kinds
heavy
of
hitters.
Rotating cast members come and go there.
Yeah, it's a great community. It's good.
Fresh Hops has had a rotating door themselves over the years, always improving with each change. Is this lineup pretty solid at this point? Are we going to see this stay together?
Dave, you want to leave, don't you? No, this is we haven't had any complaints, yet from the guys, and that's kind of been the thing that we've kind of vocalized it. If you got something to say and you don't want to do this anymore, let us know. You're not going to hurt our feelings,
right? Mm-hmm. That's the biggest thing. It's just if you want to do it,
if
school or life comes up for people, and. It doesn't make sense anymore, but,
we love you. We
so far
you.
Right now, like, it's the most sense, for me is to keep doing this. And everybody, the guys that are playing with us right now, that we all seem to be on the same wavelength about that.
Mm-hmm. Okay. All right. Fresh Hops has been my guest. Thank you, Stefan, Ian, and Dave.
Thank you for
having
me. Thank
you for having us.
And for finally getting me a copy. I guess I missed you dropped one off. I missed it. Shame on me.
It's okay.
You guys probably would have made the list again with that album.
We'll have to be a little quicker with the next one.
Yeah, there you go. Bring some in. I'd like to sell some at the store, too.
Yeah, absolutely.
Just promote it that it's there. And you going to do vinyl at all with the new album?
The new album is definitely going to be vinyl.
Because we are getting a lot of hits on vinyl. Vinyl is coming back strong.
We were told that CDs are the new business cards.
Yes.
So, like, people are just taking them and putting them in their pocket and forgetting about them. And so, like, if you give someone a vinyl, if they buy a vinyl from you, it's hard to get that in their pocket.
Mm-hmm. We're seeing more and more bands doing that.
Yeah.
Steepwater, we've got their latest on vinyl in there, and
that's what
it's doing real good. Speaking of the record bin, I want to remind everybody that every Sunday from 4 to 6, it's free entertainment, free coffee, free cookies. We do encourage original music. First Sunday is always open mic. Rest of the Sundays are scheduled performances from bands that I believe you need to see. Bands from the region, because you got to remember, like I've said before in my lectures, in my classes, on the air, every band you love, think of whatever band you love right now. Close your eyes, think about it, unless you're driving, of course. Okay, Led Zeppelin, Rolling Stones, Beatles, whoever, Black Crowes, Pearl Jam, Dave Matthews. At some point, they started as a local band, a band in a basement, a band in a garage, and look what they've become. These bands deserve the same shot, and we've mentioned a few people today in our conversation, like Jack Whittle. Jack will be there at the Record Bin, along with James Guetta, for Small Business Saturday, performing some acoustic music in the back room. Jeff Massey of Steepwater Band will be there, performing a show for you of his original music on November 24th. Thick as Thieves, Greg Ashby and the boys, they will be there November 17th performing. These are bands you see in the clubs. This is a chance to bring your family out. It's all ages. We encourage the original music. You'll hear a few covers here and there, especially when Chad Clifford comes in on December 15th. You know you're going to hear some John Lennon. So we've got great acts coming up. Lauren Duke's band will be there. Leanne Stutler is hosting her album release party there on the 23rd. It's the 23rd of November. And